Good morning. It's good to see each and every one of you here this morning. Tanya created a little test for us this morning, so we're going to continue with how do we grow deeper in intimacy with the Lord. At BAC, as we love, grow, give, go, I change this just a little bit, we joyfully, willingly surrender to the Holy Spirit's filling so that we are daily walking in intimacy with God and inviting others to do the same. Let me just back that up, because this is something new. At BAC, as we love, grow, give, and go, we joyfully, willingly surrender to the Holy Spirit's filling so that we are daily walking in intimacy with God and inviting others to do the same. One of my mentors, I met with him just for like 5 minutes, and we were talking, and he said, "Jeff, here's what I sense the Holy Spirit saying to me about you. You are willfully striving after God." Now, you guys would never believe that, would you? Those who know me, you're willfully striving. We're going to do this, and we're going to do it if it kills us. You got that? That would never come out of my mouth, would it? He was with me just 5 minutes, and he said, "You are willfully striving rather than a willing surrender." Rather than a willfully striving, because when it's willfully striving, who's in control? I am. Rather than a willing surrender to Him so that He controls everything. And so I modified that just slightly. Now, here's the quiz of the week. Now, last week's table talk, I forgot frowny face, was excellent, good. Now, everyone take your sermon notes out and see the quiz. See the quiz. Now, the first one that recognized the quiz was Mike. I didn't even see the quiz. Look at your notes, and when I see you smiling, I'll know that you see the quiz. She wants to check and make sure that we're all on our toes. So, turn to one, everyone just give a smiley face to each other. That's what we're going to do. Everyone give a smiley face to each other. So we're going to continue. How do we continue growing in ever-deepening intimacy with Abba, Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit? To me, that is the reason for our existence. That's why we live. That's why we were created. That's why we were born, to have an intimacy with God. Jesus Christ died on the cross so that we could have an ongoing intimacy with Him. That is how the abundant life occurs in our lives, as we walk in intimacy with Him. And so we're going to look at another person, King David. Scripture says that King David was a man after God's own heart. Now, there's probably many, many reasons why he was a man after God's own heart. We're going to just look at one. Today, we're going to look at one way King David was a man after God's own heart and how he grew in intimacy with God. This is just one of the ways. And by the way, that purple and underline means that if you're taking notes and you want to fill in the notes, that's a blank in your sermon notes. David basically said this, and I love David. You know, I'm not that much like David. Other than I believe there's kind of three classes of people in the world. Someone wrote this. I don't know if it's true or not, but I kind of like it. This author said there are sheep, there are sheepdogs, and there are wolves. In this world, there are sheep, there are sheepdogs, and there are wolves. Now, every time I've gone to a concealed carry permit and the instructor knew me, and they would use those terms because it was a military individual that termed those things, and the instructors would say, "Okay, who here's a sheep?" And most people raise their hand, and I'd raise my hand, and the instructor would say, "Put your hand down. You're not a sheep. You know you're a sheepdog, boy." There are sheep, there are sheepdogs, and there's wolves. David was a sheepdog. David was a warrior. David went from defending the sheep. Literally, David killed lions and bears defending the sheep to becoming a warrior of God, defending the people of God. But David, the warrior David, clearly throughout his life. And the other thing, one thing I'm not like David, David's emotions, if you follow that boy, he is up and he is down. He is up and he's down. Man, he is all over the place. Emotionally, I'm not all over the place. I'm almost flat dead, usually. I'm a pretty straight line. Lynette used to get frustrated with me because I'm a pretty straight flat line. David was all over the place. In fact, that's why we know the scripture is so real and true, because David tells on himself. We're going to see that today. It's one of the proofs. Because if you study other world religions, and I have, their texts make everyone sound absolutely perfect. They have no warts. They have no blemishes. The scriptures tell it all. They show all of it. It's more proof that it's true. David, the warrior, whether he fell on his knees and gave God full access or he was standing in praise and worship, he gave God full access to himself. Search me, O God, and know my heart. This morning, I just tell you, I'm juiced this morning because this morning I had a great time of prayer. Mike even beat me to church this morning. I got here, I don't know, a little after 8. Mike was here a little bit before me. But I had such a great time of prayer with the Lord this morning. I'm just juiced. I am juiced because he just met me in wonderful and powerful ways. You don't have to be here in church to meet the Lord. He can meet you anywhere because he is everywhere. And he wants to do that all the time in our lives. And King David learned that. And King David just gave him full access. And that's the key. And we can learn from David how he did that. And it's Psalm 139. Now here's the breakdown of Psalm 139. Basically, David begins with God's omniscience. Now, I learned this because it's omniscience. That's how I learned this. You just spell science and add omni before it. And omni simply means all. All knowing. Omniscience means God is all knowing. He knows everything. Then omnipresent. He is present everywhere. And then omnipotence means he is all powerful. And then David just becomes brutally honest with us. I love that about the scriptures. The scriptures are always brutally honest. David is brutally honest with us. And then David's invitation. So we're just going to walk through Psalm 139. So if you have your Bibles, please feel free to turn there. Or I put the scriptures also on the text. And we're going to go verse by verse through Psalm 139. It's a beautiful, beautiful Psalm of David. And before we start that, I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to come powerfully upon us again. He has already been here. Amen. He's met us in worship. Let's invite him to continue and let's ask him to empower us to give us just full access. Father in heaven, I thank you that you're in this place. This is your house of worship. You're here. We've sensed you in our worship. We sensed you through Pastor Trevor's prayer. You have been here. We ask that you would continue to just come upon each one of us. We grant you full access. Come, come, Abba Father, come, Lord Jesus, come, Holy Spirit, come powerfully upon each one of us. May no one leave here the same. May we be drawn to you. I believe, help my unbelief. As we read the Word of God, it's been promised to us that it will never return void, and so reap a rich harvest in my heart and life, in our hearts and lives. And draw us to yourself. May I be an invisible lens that brings glory and honor to you and you alone, Abba Father, Jesus, and Holy Spirit. May your kingdom continue to come so that your will is done for your glory. And all in agreement said, Amen. David prayed, O Lord, you have searched and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. So as David is saying this, here's a question. How does David view God's omniscience? Now think about this. Before you ever had a thought, God knew it. Now, for most of my life, that's been kind of scary. Because when I'm driving a car and you're acting kind of silly in front of me, I don't have the nicest thoughts for you. No, I never swear. I never, none of that stuff. But I think, chucklehead, squirrel bait. Which just means nut, you know, squirrels like nuts, squirrel bait, your squirrel bait, you know, those kind of things. Or maybe, I wonder if he got his, and now this dates me, I wonder if they got their license at Monkey Ward's. Does anyone remember Montgomery Ward's? Yeah. Monkey Ward's. Got his license there. Now, So God knows everything. He knows every thought we've ever had. That's why Jesus said one day we're going to give an account. Good thoughts, good deeds, bad deeds. He knows everything. To me, that's kind of scary. Because I have some pretty stupid thoughts sometimes. Anyone else? But how does David look at this? He looks at it so positively. He truly knows my heart. He's looking at the intent of my heart. David wanted to do the right thing. Even when he did the wrong thing, but his intent was right, it counts for good. Isn't that cool? God knows us so well. He knows everything about us. He knows our thoughts even. He's omniscient. He knows everything. He knows when we're having a bad hair day. Now, I have fewer bad hair days because I got... Some of you don't have any. Well, no, you do have some. I see you got some, dude. Some of us don't have any bad hair days. I should shave my head. Are you with me? He understands. He understands. Now, I mean, how this is so, so important to me because I'm adopted by a God who knew everything about me. Every wrong thought, every stupid thing, everything that was wrong with me, he knew all of it. And he knows that about you. And Scripture says that before the creation of the world, he looked at you and said, "You're mine. I choose you. I adopt you. I love you." Even though he knew everything about me, everything about you, everything, you're mine. I love you. I not only love you, I like you. You are family. That gives me goosebumps just thinking about it. Because I know there were times that my mom and dad stood there and it started with dad. "He's from your side." "No, he's from your side." "No, he's from your side." I know. I heard him do it. I was that kid that never got in real trouble but was always breaking something. I was a kid that took everything apart and couldn't quite get it back together again. The clock, the this, the that, hey. There's only one time I remember in all my life there was a chip in the bathroom sink. It's the only time. I have no idea how that chip got here, but it wasn't me that time. Every other time it was me. But that time I thought, man, this is not fair. I didn't do it. For once in my life, I didn't do it. And yet it was on me. God sees everything. And he still said, "You're mine." Is that cool or what? I'm delighted that I'm adopted from one who knew everything and still said, "You're mine." And please hear me now. What's the further inference of that? This isn't in your notes. This is free. Boy, glad no one's standing there. That was a big one. Boy, that destroyed the thought even. It came back. So, just think about this. Has God ever, ever, ever even whispered to you that you knew his presence? If he ever has, that's proof that he always will. If it only happened once, it's proof that he always will, because he would have never spoken to you if he didn't love you and call you by name. And so if he did it even once, that means you're his forever. Now, you can destroy some of his blessings and things like that, but I believe that you can't thwart his grace. You can't stop him. You cannot stop his love, because it's not based upon what I do. It's based upon who he is. And from my perspective, this morning is just further proof that I'm loved. And how cool is that? And that's going to make Tuesday a lot easier. Because Tuesday's Lynette's birthday. And I know where she is. And I'm loved by my dad in heaven and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And so are you.
if you've prayed to receive him, if he's knocked at your heart's door and ever once you opened up and said, come in, then you are his. And nothing, Paul says in Romans 8, that nothing in all creation can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Nothing, nothing, nothing. And he wants to have what I had with him this morning every day. Every day, all day. And I desperately want that for you too. So David, in thinking about God's omniscience, was it positive or negative? Man, he knew all about me and he still loved me and chose me. And the same is true of you. Did I get this backwards again? God's omnipresence. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely darkness will hide me. Anyone have dark days? Anyone have those terrible, horrible, no good, bad hair days? We've all had them. But you know who's there? Because to God, darkness means nothing. Means nothing. You know, every once in a while, I'd like to have night goggles to see the big deer in the backyard. God doesn't need night vision. He's got it. He can see. Even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. So again, so here we have God's omnipresent, omniscience. He knows everything, and he's always present. He sees everything. Did David think it positively or negatively? Man, when David was facing that giant, was God with him? Did anyone else think God was there? David knew that God... he knows about this and he's here. He's here. There's nowhere that I can go that he's not. One of the things that I have amazed over with Rob Reamer, and Rob is coming in September again, for people, for many people who were deeply, deeply wounded by an individual or a really horrible situation, there have been times in prayer that Rob has led that person and said, Holy Spirit, please just take that person back to that scene. And although it's very painful, and then Jesus, would you please reveal yourself where you were? And in every single time that I've been there with Rob, Jesus has revealed himself to that person. And they were not alone. You are never alone. Even if it feels like it, and I know that sometimes it feels like it. You may not think I think that way, because I'm a good faker. Even when I'm not feeling good, I'll tell you I'm okay. Are there some of you here like that? I refuse to have a bad day. I refuse to. My family can tell you. I refuse to. And I'm trusting that it's all by God's grace more and more and more, because I know that he has chosen me. I love a scene in Chronicles of Narnia. Aslan reveals himself. And this is the horse and his boy. And anyone know what I'm talking about? C.S. Lewis in Chronicles of Narnia, he wrote these children's books. I was not allowed to read them growing up because my parents didn't like that Beaver drank beer. And so I was not permitted to read the Chronicles of Narnia. I don't drink alcohol. I don't do those things, but I love Chronicles of Narnia. So in this one scene, Aslan the lion, who is Jesus Christ, reveals himself. And one of the ponies that are making this trip, Aslan reveals himself, and she doesn't even know it's Aslan, but she trots over to Aslan and says, I'd rather be eaten by you than be fed by anyone else. I'd rather be eaten by you. And now, just a little while ago, they were attacked by Aslan, a lion, and he wounded Erebus because Erebus needed to know what she had done to someone else. But here comes this pony, and I can't remember her name right now, my mind went blank. But she says, I'd rather be eaten by you, Jesus, than fed by anyone else. Dear friends, you're not only loved, you're delighted in. You're delighted in. David thinking about God's presence, it can be a scary thing, but it's also, he's always with me. No matter how dark the night is, he is there. And I'll give testimony to that. Because my best friend, my soulmate is with him now, but he is even in the night. He is with me. And I believe that Lynette is in a better place. And only selfishness on my part would want her back here. Only selfishness. And you know what? God loves me even though I'm selfish. It is so cool. And now God's omnipotence. He's all powerful. For you created my inmost being. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. Now, I don't know where you are on the whole debate about choice, pro-life. We were created in the womb by God. God knows every cell in our being. So you know where I stand. I believe this is where God stands. He creates in the womb. God creates. You know, we had a prayer request this morning, and it's a real prayer request because I don't know, it must be on this side because there's an incision on this side. Doctors can do everything, and I appreciate doctors. I appreciate nurses. I appreciate all that. I appreciate dentists. Boy, do I need dentists. But doctors and individuals, we can do all that we can do, but the healing is up to God. Hospitals, doctors, they create an environment where healing can happen. God is the one that knits us together. God is the one that knit us in the womb. God is the healer. He's omnipotent. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book. It's another truth I believe. I teased someone. I saw them in Walmart the other day. They said they were buying healthy food. Ah. I grew up in a family that were health conscious and health nuts at times. In fact, I hope my parents don't hear this, but my mom forbid us to eat hot dogs. And every once in a while, my dad would take us to the hot dog shop and we would get a death chili dog. And it was so good. It was so good. I believe that there is one thing that controls the number of days I am here on earth. And that's my dad in heaven. Now, eating healthily, we're stewards of this body. We should. I probably should eat better. But whether I do or don't is not going to determine the length of number of days. I cannot change one hair, white or black. I cannot add a day to my life. Now, the quality of life might change. I believe that. But the number of days? No. God has written the number of days over my life. And I'm ready to go today. If that's what he wants. But I have a sneaking suspicion he has more for me to do yet. I was on an airplane once, and the lady sitting next to me was actually terrified. She was bone white. She was shaking. She was just terrified. And I said, look, I'm a pastor. You're going to be safe on this flight. How do you know? Because I know there's more people the Lord wants me to lead to him yet. So I'm just telling you, relax, because I'm on this plane. It worked, and I prayed. I laid my hands on her. I prayed for her. She relaxed. Now, I don't know if I'll be here by the end of today, but that day he gave me an assurance that it wasn't the end. Not for me yet. He had more work for me. My days, your days are numbered by one being, Abba, Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. One God, three persons. David looked at God's all-powerfulness. Was it positive or negative? It was positive. This all-knowing, all-present, all-powerful God held David in the hollow of his hand. David could go fight Goliaths, and every one of us have Goliaths. Amen? But we can do that knowing God is all-knowing, all-powerful, and omnipresent. And if he tells you to sick him, sick him. In his name, for his glory. Now comes David's honesty. I really believe that part of David being a man after God's own heart is David was honest. David was honest. Look at this honesty. If only you would slay the wicked, O God. Anyone ever think that? Come on, be honest. He was. That's how we know this is true, that it's truly from David, because David was, man, would you just slay the wicked? Come on, wipe them out. Away from me, you bloodthirsty men. You know, if you study David, his uncles were pretty ruthless. They were his military leaders. Those boys were pretty ruthless. David knew what it was to have some ruthless people around him. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. You know, I can identify with David because just this past week, you know, Billy Graham. Now, Billy Graham is only a man, but Billy Graham, in my estimation, was here. And if you don't believe that, we'll meet out in the parking lot, okay? No. I believe Billy Graham, but there were some people that just instantly attacked him. I could not believe it. And there was one person, even with Vice President Pence, and again, I don't agree with everything he says or does, but when he gave testimony that he speaks to God in prayer and he hears God's voice, well, there are people that say that's mental illness. That's how we live today. When I heard that, I did not have warm, happy thoughts toward that person. I believe, bless your pee, pick, and heart fits well there. Bless your heart. You know what that means, right? If anyone says that to you, bless your heart. If they say it like that, that means, you idiot. At least that's what people in the South have told me after they blessed my pee, pick, and heart. Then, as the Holy Spirit got control over me, then I felt sorry for those people. And I prayed for those people. Because one day, I don't want anyone to go to the eternal lake of fire, but one day if they don't change and receive Jesus Christ, that's where they're going. It won't be Billy Graham there. It will be people like that. And I don't want that for everyone. So my first reaction was not good. Neither was David's. Do I not hate those who hate you, Lord? I abhor those who rise up against you. I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Anyone here feel that once in a while? Got to be honest. That's my first reaction usually. But Jesus said otherwise. What are we to do with our enemies? Pray for them. Bless them. And not bless them, because I shared with this a few weeks ago. You know, I love where James and the other in Romans, it says that, you know, if you bless them, it's like putting coals of fire on their head. I'm going to bless you, bud. I'm going to bless you big time. Wrong motive, didn't work. True blessing. I've only been adopted by grace. It's only grace. It's only His grace that I was adopted. Because He knows all about me. He knows every foolish thought. Yet He still said, Jeff, I choose you. I love you. In the same way He says that to you. And the same way He does that for every other chucklehead ever born. Jesus died for all people, that they would come to repentance and seek Him. David's brutally honest here. I love David's honesty. When David's not feeling well, you know it. When David's angry at you, you know it. Are we going to be brutally honest with God? It's so important. It's so important to be honest with God. Because sometimes we aren't even honest with ourselves. David was transparent and honest. We need to be transparent and honest with God too. But then David invites God to have full access. Full access. Here's this warrior. And I don't know if he bowed down on his knees or if he stood with his hand raised, but this warrior, first a warrior over sheep and then warrior for the Lord God over all Israel, he said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. If there is any offensive way in me, lead me in the way everlasting." So he's saying, Lord, if there's anything in me, you know everything. You're all powerful. You're all present. You're all of this. If there's anything in me, change me to lead me in your way. Deliver me from myself. I don't know about you, but that's who I need delivered from every day. Jeff. Because I can promise you, almost my first instinct, my first impression, my first thought is almost always the wrong one. Oh, you want to tailgate me? Let me show you how that feels. That's the flesh. David humbled himself. Lord, please, search me, know me, try me, test me. Full surrender, full access. Come and lead me in the way everlasting. One way to illustrate this, Psychology 101. Johari's window. Does anyone remember Johari's window? I learned this in the 80s. That was a century ago. Psychology 101. And why I remember it is, it was two guys. One guy's name was Joe and one guy's name was Harry, hence Johari's window. Here's Johari's window. I love this. This is truth. I believe that God revealed this to Joe and Harry, and they made Johari. So the public, your public life is what I see and what you see. What you see right now is my public life. What you see is kind of what you get. It's the public. Then we come over here, the private. I see it and you don't see it. I let you in a little bit every week, and now I know the elders continue to wonder, did we really hire this guy? Why did we hire this guy? Boy, we need to revisit this. So I see it, you don't see it, and I enlarge a little bit by just letting you in. No, I don't let you in and see everything. You don't know everything about Lynette and my relationship. Some things are private and should remain that way. But many times we need to let people see more and more of who we are. And then we have the blind spots. I don't see it and you see it. Just this week, a brother in Christ said something to me. It was a blind spot to me. I so appreciate that. I didn't see it. You know, we have a dog in our house, Ira. I really like Ira. I like Ira. He's a pit bull. Y'all are welcome to my house anytime. Actually, this dog is the most loving dog I've ever met. I shouldn't say this, but he might hurt you with his tail, or lick you with his tongue. That's all this dog will do. He is so loving. But I got to tell you, the dog stinks. He has B.O. I love him, but he has B.O. But you know what? Ivor can't smell himself. He's got a great nose, but he can't smell himself. Since when can a dog smell himself? I can't see it, but you can. That's my blind spot. And if you love me, if we love one another, we will in love. Hey, Ira, have you ever considered deodorant? Hey, Ira, can I give you a bath, dude? You see, if we're open to letting people speak into our lives, then we become larger and larger. So if I share with you more of who I am, and then I allow you to speak into my life, my public becomes larger and larger and larger, and I become more of a real person. But those of us who shrink back and won't let anyone speak into our lives, and we won't let anyone in our lives, the public life gets smaller and smaller and smaller. And people shrink. We all know people that shrink away versus people who are growing and just allowing people to see who they really are. And they see authenticity and realness. And they let you speak into their life. And then there's the unknown. I don't see it and you don't see it. And this is where the Holy Spirit comes in. And this is where I believe David. Not only does David grant God full access, he invites God. He invites God to lead him out of his blind spots, out of his unknowns, into God's way of everlasting. Are we willing to do that? Knowing that God loves us. He knows everything about you. He knows everything about you, everything you've ever thought, everything you've ever done. He's with you 24/7. He's seen every foolish thing that I've done, that you've done, and he still loves you. King David knew that. And that warrior, whether he bowed down or whether he stood and raised his hand, he said, "Search me and know me, try me, and lead me in your way." That was David's prayer. "Search me, O God, and know me. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there be any offensive way in me, and lead me in your way." So my question this morning, what's our prayer going to be? I know what my prayer is going to be. Here's what my prayer is going to be. Search me and try me. Test me and see if there's any offensive way in me. And lead me in your way. That's what happened this morning that I had such a great morning. I was even late here because I was enjoying it way too much. I lost track of time. It's basically, search me and try me. I'm all yours. I surrender. This sheepdog is saying, full access, full access. I just want more of you. And so my question is, what's your prayer going to be? Each day we have a choice. May each day be a choice like David's. Search me, O God, and know me. Test me and try me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Let us pray. Father, thank you for this role model of David. Thank you that David, this warrior, realizing you know all, you see all, you're everywhere present. And David, despite all of that, knowing your love for him, raised his hands in complete surrender, bowed his heart and mind and will. Search me, know me, try me, and lead me in your way everlasting. I pray that same prayer. Please, please, I surrender. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come and draw each one of us into a more complete surrender, into a deeper intimacy with you, and may that intimacy continue to grow. Not because of who we are, but because of who you are. Our loving Abba Father, Jesus, who laid your life down for us, and Holy Spirit, the one who infills us and walks with us moment by moment. My prayer, our prayer, we surrender all. Please come. Please come even more in my life, in our lives. Show us how to surrender more so that you can have even more of us. Please. Please. We ask this in your name, Lord Jesus. In your name, please. Please stand together with me and let us continue in a spirit of prayer as we worship the Lord.